please turn with me, first of all, to Isaiah chapter 26, and then we'll be looking at the main text for today in Luke chapter 2. I want to read just two verses from Isaiah 26, and then we'll be looking at Luke chapter 2. Isaiah 26, verse 17. Like a pregnant woman who writhes and cries out in her pangs when she is near to giving birth, so were we because of you, O Lord. We were pregnant, we writhed, but we have given birth to wind. We have accomplished no deliverance in the earth, and the inhabitants of the world have not fallen. Luke 2, which we'll be looking at today. Luke 2, beginning with verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. We'll end our reading with verse 20. The date was December 24, 1970. I was with my infantry company on Firebase Rokassan. 24th of December, we'd been flown there by chopper to eat a big Christmas dinner. Compliments of you taxpayers. Big Christmas dinner on Firebase Rokassan. As we arrived, we began to go through the mail that was waiting for us. And there were a couple things I had, and I picked up an envelope, and it wasn't this envelope. This is too new for... Picked up an envelope, and I opened the envelope. And inside that envelope were some Polaroid pictures of my firstborn child. I'll remember that day. I can get emotional even thinking about it. I'll remember that day forever. Here I was on this fire base in a far away, I thought it was the remotest parts of the world, to Earth's remotest ends. I was a lowly soldier. I was a private in the 101st Airborne Division, humping ammo for the machine gunner. And all of a sudden, I'm a daddy. I have evidence right here that my firstborn child was born. The child that I'd prayed for, the child that was conceived even before I got word that I'd been drafted into the U.S. Army, the child that we'd anticipated for these 9 months and planned for, was now born. It was a remarkable experience. In contrast, the biblical prophets spoke of the Old Testament church as a woman who had been with child for literally thousands of years, but had yet to give birth. Isaiah 54, sing, O barren woman, you who have no children. Well, Israel had millions of babies, but they didn't have the promised seed. They didn't have the one who was to come. They didn't have the one that they anticipated. We just read from Isaiah 26, and we saw there the Old Testament church described as a woman writhing as in the pangs of childbirth, but giving birth to the wind. But the Old Testament church anticipated, looked forward to that day when the promised seed would come. And I don't know how this worked out, but I would imagine when Cain or Abel or Seth were born, they're saying, might this be the promised one? But it wasn't Cain or Abel or Seth or Noah. It wasn't Abraham or Isaac or Jacob. It wasn't Moses or Joshua. It wasn't one of the judges. It wasn't David. It wasn't one of the kings. Still, they were anticipating that one who would come. Micah prophesied of that day when the one who is with child finally gives birth to the promised king. In Luke chapter 2, if we had taken time to read the whole chapter, you would see Anna and Simeon at the temple still awaiting the consolation of Israel, still awaiting the one who would redeem Jerusalem. And it wasn't just the two of them. We read in verse 38 that Anna begins to speak of this Jesus to all who were waiting for the redemption in Jerusalem. There were people awaiting the coming Messiah. Into that climate, we come and we look at Luke chapter 2, verse 10. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be for all the people. Those of you who are going to be in my evangelism class, you will learn tonight that we're going to be looking at this word, euangelizomai, which is used here to say, announcing this good news, to bring this good news, euangelizomai. The angel appeared and was preaching the gospel, preaching the good news. A child had been born. And you see here, and I want to draw a special attention to this phrase, good news of great joy. Good news of great joy. When I saw this picture of Meg, I was filled with unbridled joy. Wonder of wonders. And I couldn't contain that joy. What has happened to the church? Why do we come to church? Why do we come to chapel? Well, I know why you come to chapel this way. You've just heard our lectures. Why do we go to church? And why are we so dour? Why are we so just mopey when we go into church? I had an elder tell me in Columbus once, and he was a great friend, but you never saw any joy in his face. Now, he would always say, well, you don't know what's in my heart. And that's true. But usually when I'm joyful, you know about it. Why are we so dour when we worship? Well, I ask that of myself a lot. I say, why doesn't my face just radiate? There are some of you here, and there are people I know, and your faces radiate. I'm thinking, what's wrong with me? Why don't I radiate the joy of the gospel? I remember Pastor Ted Donnelly saying several years ago, and I believe Pastor Donnelly is one of the finest pastor preachers of our era. Pastor Donnelly said that the Reformed life, the Reformed faith, the Christian life is first of all a joyful faith. It's a joyful response to the good news. It is a joyful faith before it is a system of doctrine or a determined obedience. It is joyful faith. I wonder if we can rekindle joyful faith in our studies here. That would be the reason for me preaching on this theme today, that we might see here the gospel is a gospel of great joy. And may the Lord use that to stimulate us in our desire to be a joyful people, not ignoring the problems of our day, but that we would, in the midst of the adversity, in the midst of the trials, in the midst of the floods, have joy that radiates. I actually have the person I have seen that radiates most the love of Christ is Johnny Erickson Tada, who happens to have suffered more than most of us will ever suffer. Joy to the world. The Savior, who is Christ the Lord, has been born. His name isn't Abraham or Moses or David. His name is Yeshua, Jesus, Emmanuel. He is the Savior of the world. He is the seed of the woman promised 4,000 years earlier, more than 4,000 years earlier, who is Christ the Lord. And of course, his birth signals all that follows. I mean, that his incarnation doesn't stop there. He is the one who lived the perfect life. He is the one who died a substitutionary atonement for your sins and my sins. He is the one who conquered death, rising on the third day. He is the one who ascended into heaven and who now reigns at the right hand of the Father in his session. If you reduce your faith to a set of precepts to be obeyed or a set of confessional statements to be intellectually embraced, you miss the point of the gospel. The gospel is a joyful union with a living Savior. The gospel is rooted in historic facts. You all know this, but I want to remind you, what we read today actually happened in time and history. Ours is not a religion that's a feel-good religion or just think good thoughts and you'll get $1 million. Our gospel is rooted in time and history. The angel appeared in the sky near Bethlehem. Jesus was born. He condescended. We just sang of his condescension. He was born of a virgin, born under the law to redeem those under the law. He really did live a perfect life. He really did die. He really did rise from the grave. It's a gospel rooted in time and history. It's a gospel for all people. Verse 10 again says, good news of great joy that will be for all people. All people. Black, brown, white, Asian, European, North American, South American, African, Australian, male, female, bond or free. Isaiah 49:6, one of my favorite verses. It's too small a thing for the Son of God to come just to save Jacob, to save Israel. God says, I'll make my Son a light to the Gentiles, for the nations of the world. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. In theory, I could have responded to this picture by saying, well, it really is true that I have a daughter, despite what the higher critics might say. It really is true that she was born 9 days earlier on December 15th, in spite of some who argue for an earlier dating. I could have said that. Her middle name's Rose, named after grandma, not some name in, you know, the Book of Enoch or something like that. Does anybody think I responded that way? I didn't. I was jumping up and down. I was so joyful. And you know what? The other thing about this is, you couldn't keep me silent. I mean, 5 minutes after I opened this envelope, probably every soldier on Firebase Rockasan knew that I was a proud papa. It is more, the Christian faith is more than just defending truth. And it is that. But it's first this joyful response to the salvation that is ours. Our sins have been forgiven if you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read again verses 17 through 20 as we begin to wrap things up. And when they, that is the shepherds, saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Now, obviously, the shepherds, and especially Mary, have a very unique place in the history of redemption. But let me challenge you in your response to this joyful news to be a Mary, in the sense that as you study here at the seminary, don't just hear a lecture by Dr. Gamble or Professor York or Dr. Kinnear and let it go at that. Ponder in your heart what you hear. Treasure in your heart what you're hearing. You, of all people, are blessed to be able to spend time studying the Word of God. Ponder it. Treasure it in your heart. Secondly, as the shepherds did in verse 20, let me encourage you to glorify and praise God for all that you are hearing and all that you are learning and all that you have experienced in your own life. It's an appropriate thing to let your theology lead to doxology. Mm. Praise and glorify your Heavenly Father. And then thirdly, as I just read verse 17, When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered. It's so convicting for me to realize what I was like 45 years ago on a fire base in the middle of what seemed like the middle of nowhere. It's so convicting to look at that and then look at the way I tell or don't tell my neighbors the good news. I mean, it's good news that my daughter Meg was born. I'm really glad for that. But what are we really glad for? That a Savior who is Christ the Lord has been born. And somehow we have to follow joyful expressions of adoration and praise to sharing the gospel with those around us. The angel preached good news of great joy. May we, as a congregation, as a people here, experience that joy. I just heard Gene give his testimony again 2 days ago. And he said it was the joy of the people I was around that convinced me that there was something to what they were saying. That should convict all of us. Do we exhibit the joy that is ours in the gospel? Let's pray. Lord, our Lord, in all the earth, how excellent is your name. You have condescended. You have sent to us your only Son. He condescended. He left the glories of heaven for us. And we are the recipients of your salvation. And so we give you thanks and praise and honor and glory. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. May we worship you. May we love you. May we freely and without embarrassment or shame tell others the good news of salvation. In Jesus' name.